Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There is water on Mars. That's this week's big announcement from NASA.
While scientists have known for some time that there's ice on the poles of the red planet, they have for the first time confirmed that liquid water is flowing on the surface as well.
So what does this mean? Is there life swimming in that water? And does it make our dreams of landing a manned mission on Mars, does that make it closer to a reality now? Well, here to talk about this is Michael Hecht. He's associate director of MIT's Haystack Observatory and the principal investigator of MOXIE, an instrument that will begin its journey to Mars in 2020 to see if we can make oxygen on the red planet. Michael Hecht joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks. One of the best things about studying Mars is that I get to tell people about it. Honestly, that's the fun part. So thank you for inviting me.
Okay, so tell us more. What was your reaction when NASA came out with this news?
Well, I was saying
there's water. There's water flowing on the surface of Mars.
Oh, that's right. That's huge. And in so many ways, I was delighted personally, because I had a hand in two pieces of this. There were two shout-outs at the press conference for my current project from MOXIE. Nice to hear. And the smoking gun turned out to be a substance called perchlorate. And I led the team back in 2008 that discovered perchlorate on Mars. So it was very, very satisfying to see that as the, you know, that was the key that unlocked the puzzle.
Okay.
What are those things?
So give us the briefest of science lesson into how we go from perchlorate to seeing liquid water flowing on the surface of
Mars. Oh, absolutely. Liquid water flowing on Mars has been in our consciousness since H.G. Wells and Percival Lowell and canals. And every time we think we found it, it turns out to be something else. So these particular so-called RSLs look like little streams, and we've seen them for years, and they get dark in the summer and lighter in the winter, as if water's flowing when it gets warm. But we didn't understand how it could flow at such low temperatures, and we didn't have proof. We just didn't have proof. Well, the only way the answer to both questions is the same. The only way it can flow at low temperature is with a really good antifreeze. Perchlorate, which, again, our team found several years ago, that is the antifreeze. So when they were able to find, by some very clever measurements, basically a bed, a salt pan at the bottom of perchlorate, they say, that proves it.
Uh-huh.
That proves it.
So it's actually funny. Something we're so very familiar with here in New England, salt, 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 or a type of salt to melt all that snow and ice, is essentially sort of the, one of the same things that led us to this discovery of liquid water.
That's right. And in fact, some of the, what is it, calcium chloride that we use for really, really low, really cold ice, that's one of the salts. But perchlorate is much, much better. And the only reason we don't use it on our roads is that it's fairly toxic.
Right. Okay. Well, good. Good. But it's there on the surface of Mars. Okay. So let's get to the question that maybe those of us in the rest of the public outside of the planetary sciences community really want to know now. And it was addressed directly by Jim Green, who's director of planetary science at NASA, on Monday. He said that basically the question is, this is true on Earth. Wherever we find water, we find life. But is it true on Mars?
We haven't been able to answer the question, does life exist beyond Earth? But following the water is a critical element of that. We now have, I think, great opportunities to be in the right locations on Mars to thoroughly investigate that.
So, Michael Hecht, I mean, this is the reason why everyone's so excited. Liquid water, could it actually have some sort of Martian life in it?
Well, I wish I could be more optimistic about that, as Jim is. This is very briny, cold water, and water like that on Earth would not have anything living in it. We can say that definitively. Martian life would have to be truly very strange and have adapted to such an environment. However, the fact that they find this stuff not just up at the poles where we know most of the ice is, but down near the equator, suggests that there's ice, there's some forms of water, you know, ice and permafrost and whatnot, also in warmer places. So you might have some scenario where that can make it easy for life to survive.
Okay, so I'm going to cast myself as an exobiology optimist here. Ooh. And say that, you know, it wasn't all that long ago that we didn't realize that there were forms of life on Earth, say, that perform chemosynthesis at those the black smokers at the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd never see any sunlight, but they're generating energy. They were previously unknown to science, and yet there they were. So why couldn't something wild and unknown to science exist on the Martian surface?
Life does always surprise us. The only reason I'd be pessimistic is because Mars scientists, exobiologists, have purposefully gone out and studied these extreme environments. They've studied very, very salty places like Rio Tinto. And in the end, there does seem to be a limit beyond which they can make life we can recognize grow. But as I said, life is tenacious and does always surprise us.
Good. You are not going to squelch the Fox Mulder in me. I want to believe. So what kind of questions should we be asking now, following this discovery of liquid water on Mars?
Well, I do think this has implications for all of the primary areas that NASA worries about on Mars, and usually they describe that as life, as climate, as geology, and as preparing for human exploration. I could pick any of those, but let me start with human exploration because that's my current gig.
Mm-hmm.
Without giving any spoilers, people who are going to go see The Martian starting tomorrow night, fabulous story. We'll see Matt Damon trying to survive on what's left behind from a ruined Mars base, and he relies heavily on a couple of devices that turn carbon dioxide from the Martian atmosphere into oxygen, which he can then use. And one of the things that he needs to do with that oxygen is find a way to make water,
mm-hmm.
because you need water to live on, for things to grow. And so he needs a way to get hydrogen. Water is H2O, hydrogen and oxygen. That's a tough problem for him. If there's water where we go on Mars, that problem is solved. In fact, it becomes another source of oxygen. So to find out that there is not only water at these places maybe nearer the equator where we're more interested in visiting, but in fact to have like big neon arrows pointing to them, you know, where we see these features, that's where the water is, that's where the ice is. That opens up a whole new avenue for using what nature gives us on Mars to help us explore.
Well, you mentioned the Martian movie starring Matt Damon, which, as you said, is opening on Friday. We actually have a little clip from part of the movie here, and since you mentioned it, let's go ahead and play it.
Fantastic.
Here's the rub. It's going to be 4 years for another mission to reach me. And I'm in a hab designed to last 31 days. So I got to make water and grow food on a planet where nothing grows. But if I can't figure out a way to make contact with NASA, then none of this matters anyway.
We've got an incoming message.
Mein Gott.
Apparently psychedelic music follows you to Mars, but that's a clip from The Martian starring Matt Damon. So tell me more about this challenge of making oxygen on Mars, because the Martian environment in reality is, what, 96% carbon dioxide, maybe a little bit more?
That's right. The Martian atmosphere is almost entirely CO2. There's about 5% left, which is a little bit of nitrogen, a little bit of argon. And actually, those turn out to be really important also because we can't, for example, breathe pure oxygen.
Right.
And we also can't breathe pure CO2. So we need another gas to breathe. So even that little 5% is important. But the oxygen is there on Mars everywhere. It's there on the moon everywhere. It's all bound up in chemicals. If you pick up a rock on the moon, it has lots of oxygen in it. Silicon dioxide. The air on Mars has carbon dioxide, and the dioxide is two oxygen atoms.
Uh-huh.
You need to get them out.
Right.
You need to get them out. You need to separate them from the carbon to get oxygen, and that's what MOXIE does.
That's what MOXIE does.
That's, right.
So that's that mission slated for launch in 2020
that's correct.
A part of.
That's
okay.
Right.
So back to this question. So all of these things could help us take significant strides forward in terms of human exploration, human colonization of Mars. But I guess my last question to you is, thinking into the distant future, I was today, the best way I could put it is, what about the prime directive conundrum?
The prime directive that we shouldn't in any way interfere with life elsewhere. Exactly. Believe it or not.
My hat tip to Star Trek.
Oh, absolutely. That's how we all got started in this business. The prime directive, believe it or not, really is one of the few widely respected international treaties on this planet now, today. There is what's called a planetary protection treaty that has enthusiastically been signed by every spacefaring nation that we will not contaminate other places and other planets. We have been honoring that carefully, faithfully, up until the point, and we will continue to do so up until the point we send people. Then we're going to have to do a lot of head scratching about how to keep Mars clean while we explore it.
Wow. Well, we've taken a big step forward in discovering liquid water on Mars. Michael Hecht, Associate Director of MIT's Haystack Observatory and Principal Investigator of the Mars-bound instrument MOXIE, what a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
And thank you for inviting me.